Please bow with me as I say a prayer over the offertory. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for the beautiful weather outside, and I thank you that all these people were able to come this morning and share with your spirit. And Lord, I just ask that you please send your spirit to be with us. And Lord, I ask that you please bless the Bates brothers as they share with us today. And I ask that you please bless this money that we collect, that it would go towards your work, Lord. Thank you for all the many blessings you've given us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.
About you, but it's a joyful experience to come together and to worship together. And I felt a real good spirit as Brother Chuck has shared with us on the 40-day fast. And if those of you who came in late didn't catch that, I suggest you, if there's some available, that you pick up one of those. And I feel real positive because I'm finding those that have been divided, or there's some efforts to bring us together as one. And brothers and sisters, I look for the day that we can be one, because if we're not one, we know we're not his. And that's a real challenge for us. And I want to bear witness that I believe, somebody asked me some time ago, what makes his church different than any of the others? I can only bear witness, and my testimony is, that the Lord called this church, divinely called it with authority to restored the church after the 1260-year apostasy. That's what is unique to me. And the Lord has called us for a very specific purpose, and we need to get our act together. I'm very grateful to be here and to share with you. Up on the rostrum is we have the ones that are going to share is Micah Bates and Jonah Bates, and I'm 70 George Mefford. And we have Josiah Bates that will offer the closing prayer, and Brother Mike Hancock. They're priests, they're elders. I always forget to identify the priesthood, because these sermons do go out. I'm grateful, Chuck, that you came and brought your sidekick here with you, and Nathan. And glad to see George and Jeanette back. And Brother Ron Fries. Been a while. I think we went to Graceland together, didn't we? I don't think I've seen you since, so we're glad.
I've been to church, though.
Yeah, I'm glad you clarified that. But anyway, it's a joyous time for us to come together and to worship, and look forward to our brothers as they share what has transpired in Chile. I would like to read a scripture reading that deals with Jesus when he was about preaching and baptizing. This is found in Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 41 through 44. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. May God bless the reading of the word. We are singing 446 a cappella, and then Brother Mike will offer the opening prayer.
Stand. Join with us in sweet accord, sing the praises of the Lord. Praise unto his holy name, every heart is now proclaimed. Send the news to
Father, Lord, thank you so much for this morning service that we have all been allowed to attend. And we just pray that your spirit will continue to dwell here with us as we felt it already. And we thank you for each one that has gathered in this place. I ask that you will bless them and remove any distractions that they may be feeling and allow them to focus on drawing nearer to you. And we pray that you will bless Jonah and Micah as they share with us the wonderful news from our brothers and sisters in Chile, and we just pray that you will allow them to remember all that you would have them share, and pray you allow us to continue to uplift them as we have during their travels. Lord, just bless this service that we have, and we're so very grateful to you for allowing each of us to be here. And we praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you. that I was loved and taught so much. So next door, around the world, I must share the wonderful words of life. There's so much joy in the gospel. There's a work for
I just wanted to ask that you pray that our brothers will be able to reflect upon those things that the Lord would have them to share. What an exciting experience it is to be able to travel and bring ministry to saints. I'm going to invite us to come sit down in front. I don't know about you, but it's a lot nicer looking at people than trying to hear from the back, especially when you have hearing problems in the first place. So I'm going to turn it over to our brothers, and may God bless us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, buenos dias. I'd like to welcome you all here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to start out by telling a little story. And this story is about two men and two very wonderful, wonderful men. I thought it would be a brilliant idea to ask Jonah and I to go to a country where they almost speak Spanish when we almost speak Spanish and share just a little anecdote. We got to Chile, and our grasp on the Spanish language was mediocre at best, and we found that they do things like not say their S's at all. And their claim to fame with language is that, and they told us this over and over again, oh, we speak faster than any other Latin American country. And I'm thinking, well, that's just great. This is just what we need for our first experience in immersion. We met zero people in Chile that spoke English for our entire time there. And so it was definitely an experience. And we had testimony after testimony leading up to our trip there that the Lord, even if we spoke no Spanish at all, that the Lord could do his work if he needed to. Now, we're going to share a lot of stories with you and testimonies and things like that. But if the reason that you're here this morning is to hear stories and just testimonies, then it's the wrong reason. And we found out that all of our stories and our testimonies that we share wherever we are, unless they have the gospel behind them, and the fullness of that gospel, unless they're for the purpose of changing lives and bringing you to repentance. They have no purpose. And the purpose we've gathered here this morning is to come together and to better understand what the Lord has for each and every one of us, to better understand how we can repent and turn to Him. And that's the reason why we're here. And that's my prayer this morning, is that if we share with you the things that transpired over the last, I don't know how long are there, a month or so, that will be on your hearts, and that your thoughts and your minds and your hearts will be guided to Him, not to us, not to anything else, but to Him. So, I'm going to, actually, to start out, I didn't tell Jonah I was going to do this. I'm going to give you a little bit of a timeline. We showed up in Chile. I'm going to make this as fast as possible. And, you know, most people don't eat lunch till 12 anyways. We started out our time on timeline in Chile. We arrived on, like, a Wednesday or something, not really important. And we showed up. We got to the house of one of the elders there named Ronaldo. And we stayed most of our time with Ronaldo in a place called Puente Alto. And Puente Alto is just south of Santiago, the capital of Chile, and the largest city in Chile. And we spent some time over in the first little while getting prepared, getting classes ready, meeting with Ronaldo's family, some of the church members. We met Simone also. Simone is the other elder there in Chile, and he lives about 2 hours away from where Ronaldo lives, also to the south of Chile, but you kind of have to go north and then come back south, and it's a hectic mess. But he lives about 2 hours away by the public transportation from Ronaldo, and he travels that distance every single time that they have a service, and which is weekly at least. And we spent a lot of our time in the Puente Alto area with Ronaldo and his family, and then we spent some time in La Playa, the beach. We went out there for supposed to be a little retreat with the branch and stuff, but it ended up just being Simone's family and us, and that was absolutely wonderful, absolutely wonderful. He has a house out there, and we also spent some time with some of the family members and contacts of Simone and Ronaldo's family is where we did most of our ministry. And we also intermittently did some visiting just house to house. We also did some visiting plazas and things in the city and stuff like that, just to give you an idea of where we spent our time, and if we make references to people, hopefully we'll do a good job of remembering names and places and stuff like that. But this was where most of our ministry happened, in these places. And I guess now I will turn it over to Jonah.
Which one should I share first? Okay, so the first... The before... Okay, oh man, it's so out of order. It's all right, we're just going to share the stories with you, because it's so hard to be able to share this trip as pieces instead of as just a whole, because it really was a whole, but I'll try to break it down. One of the contacts that we had from the president of the branch there, Simone, was a woman named Sylvia. And just to give you some backstory, the president of the branch there had been a Mormon bishop for like a long time, a really long time. And she had been one of his, what do you call this? One of the members of his ward. And in the Mormon church, things are done a lot differently than in our church. And for instance, some people receive salaries and things like that. And she had been one of those people. She had worked for the Mormon church in teaching classes. And her pay had come from the Mormon church. Well, over time, things changed. She started to read more about in the Book of Mormon, and decided that some of the things the Mormon church was doing were not correct, especially the things to do with their temple ceremonies. And she decided to not go to the temple. And it was a simple decision, but to the Mormon church, that wasn't acceptable. And so her paycheck started to be cut. And as her paycheck got less and less, as time went on, the hurt started getting deeper and deeper. Relationships that she'd had for 20 plus years started to break down, and she ended up leaving the Mormon church behind and became a Jehovah's Witness. And Mike and I didn't know much about, you know, her situation coming into our first talk with her. They had told us every time we had asked them for information about, you know, what are we going to expect? What kind of things should we share? They were like, you know, let the Spirit lead you. You know, just be directed. And we were like, okay, I guess we'll just pray about it and hope the Lord has something in mind. And needless to say, I was very, very nervous. This is going to be a continuing theme for any time we talk about the first couple weeks. I'll talk about me being very, very nervous because not having command of the Spanish language like I was able to hear, it was really, really difficult when I got down there. I want to explain just a little bit about that to you. Right, okay. The understanding that I want you to get is, okay, imagine you're a French person, and you learn English as we speak it here normally, as I'm speaking it right now, and then you go and spend a month in the deep, deep, deep South. And that's your first contact with a month with any English speakers. You're pretty much going to say when you get there, this is not the language I learned. And that's about how I felt. It was different for me, but that's the reason I was feeling nervous. That day, we went out with Reynaldo to just see some sites in Santiago before we had time to go visit with this woman named Sylvia. And as we were going, I kept feeling that nervousness just fill me, and I was praying the entire time. Honestly, I think I prayed more in this last month than I have in my entire life. It was just continuous. But as we were walking around, we finally got to a place where we could sit down, and I was pouring my heart out to the Lord. I was like, Lord, I have no idea what to say. I don't know what needs she has. I don't know if Reynaldo's telling me. If he is, I don't understand what he's saying. If he's not, I'm still at a loss. Lord, please help us. And as we sat down, I was looking around the plaza, looking at people just going about their lives. And suddenly, it was almost like a vision, but I was still watching the people. And my mind was just open. I saw myself just standing there and preaching the gospel. And the Lord showed me how easy it would be for him to be working in the lives of people, to gather them together to hear my message, that all I would have to do is open my mouth and share. And if he had been working in the lives of the people leading up to that point, they would be in the place that they needed to be able to understand and receive the message that I had to give. And it had nothing to do with me. And I want to share with you a little part of this. My mom had sent me an email while we were there in Chile, and a phrase in that email, which was completely led by the Holy Spirit, had stuck with me the entire time and was my strength. I said it over and over again while I was there. It was my strength to be able to remember what I was there for. And the phrase was, "It is Jesus Christ that speaks to the people in their own language." And pretty much the gist of the message was, don't get in his way. And let yourself not be a stumbling block in allowing him to be able to bring the ministry that these people need. And so I just realized the Lord could do this. And I was for sure that was going to happen. So I was like, Reynaldo, we need to come back to this plaza sometime. I'm going to stand up there and I'm going to preach the gospel. But for that night, it was time to go visit Sylvia, and I was just filled with the Holy Spirit and confidence. We were walking along, and I was just smiling. I was beaming. I was speaking in Spanish. And, you know, when we got there, being able to share with her, just it felt like instantly she was my sister. And she's about in her 60s, and this lady is just amazing, but she has a lot of deep hurt. Very, very deep in her heart. And the first night, you know, it just went great. we explained why we were there. She had just, you know, she had just heard from Simone, oh, there are some missionaries that are here. You want to meet them? And she was like, okay. And so we explained what, you know, a little bit about the beliefs of our church. Simone shared a little bit of the things that made him interested in our church, and we got to share some testimonies. It went really, really well. As I said before, I'm not going to be able to share this chronologically, so what I'm going to do is take all our meetings with Sylvia and put them in one story. So we waited a week. We had some time where we weren't able to visit with her because there were some protests in Chile about education, and I know a lot of you prayed for that. I'm really, really grateful that you guys prayed about that, because we were eventually able to go and meet with all the people we couldn't in the weekend that the protests were happening. But we got to meet with Sylvia about a week later. And the problem was, with the second meeting, I don't know. Okay, I'll explain it the way Simone explained it to me. A lot of times when Chileans are talking about things in their lives, when they don't really know you, they'll talk a lot around what they're really, really feeling. And the second meeting, she just gave it to us, and it was pretty harsh. She told us all about the hurt that she'd received in the Mormon Church. She told us all about what she had found in the Jehovah's Witness that made her want to stay with them. She was very, very hesitant, looking at Simone and saying, you know, are you just trying to bring me back to all this Mormon stuff? And, you know, through all this, I was, I don't know, I didn't feel like I was led to share anything. We weren't being able to share our testimonies, and I was just praying with all my heart. And finally, Simone looks at her, and he says, Sylvia, yeah, he says, you need to tell me abueso. It's a phrase that they use in Chile. I don't know if it's used in other Latin American countries, but it means, like, just to the bone. You need to give me the truth, straightforward. Do you believe in the Book of Mormon? And she stopped, and she was like, well, and she thought for a really long time. And finally, she just kind of broke down, and she was like, you know, I really do. I really believe that the Book of Mormon is a book of scripture. And we went on from there. The whole meeting changed from then on. We got to talk about the things about the Book of Mormon. We got to talk about those kind of things. And Simone got to share with her some of their experiences that they'd had in the past, and really bring back to her the good things that she'd had, and be able to forget, be able to put behind the bad things, and also be able to bring forward the differences between our church and the Mormon church. Well, the third meeting we had with her, pretty amazing. She was a choir director at the Mormon ward where she was at, and so she asked us to get some hymns that we sing here and to translate them into Spanish. And I spent an entire day translating 7 hymns. It was really tough. But we translated them. I felt really, really blessed. We got there that night, and the Lord's Spirit just opened it up. That night, it was our last meeting with her. We were able to share with her all sorts of testimonies, testimonies about our call. The things that were really, really important to her were the fact that that we all have a part in the revelatory process, because in the Mormon Church, it's very top-down directed, and revelation isn't a part of it. It's just, if I say, you're a priest, you better accept it, you know. And they have the age order priesthood, they have those kind of things. And she was very interested in hearing our testimonies of our conversion, our testimonies of our family being healed by the Lord, and our testimonies of the life of the church, and the fact that we are able to do our business together, that we all have representation, that we all have a part in the revelatory experience when we get together to be able to do our business. It's not just about saying, well, I think that so-and-so should be a priest. We all get to ask the Lord. And if there's testimonies and if there's confirmation, it's a long process, but it's worth it. And we're able to have that assurance that the Lord is part of this work, and it's not just ourselves. So we left her. She now will meet with the church. She is, which is a huge step for her. She is meeting with the church there. She's going to meet with the church members, and she will, Reynaldo and Simone are very confident that, when the weather warms up there, because it's winter, that she'll make the decision to be baptized, and that this is a future for her. So. Sorry, that was so long.
Okay, so we got there, and at first we talked really slowly with Ronaldo and Simone, and there was a little bit of understanding. And then when we got back to Ronaldo's house, Simone and Ronaldo went outside, and they had a little conversation. And they came back inside, and they spoke real fast. And from that point on, for the next 2 days, I didn't understand a word that they said, not a single word that they said. And I was like, Lord, I know I'm here for a reason. I wasn't too down about it. He was pretty down. But I was like, you know, I know the Lord has come through for us so many times that when we need it, we're gonna have it. Not a problem. But unfortunately, there's a but there. And the but was, I don't know how you're going to do this, Lord. And I'm really anxious about it. And also, I don't know how many of you speak another language. But when I went there, I tried to think things in complex thought in Spanish. And since we were only speaking Spanish and we were trying not to speak any English to immerse ourselves, I eventually came to the point where I didn't have the words in Spanish to think in Spanish, and so I stopped thinking, and I just kind of sat there and stared out, and I tried to think stuff, but it just really didn't work, and it was a terrible experience. And then we finally tried to write down testimonies so that we'd be ready, you know, have all the words for them and stuff, and it took me, like, I don't know, 2 hours to write two halves of two different testimonies, and I was like, this is not working, Jonah. We've got to have something else going on here. And we sat down and we prayed, and we changed everything. We went downstairs and just started reading out of the Book of Mormon in Spanish. We woke up the next day and we had our service. And Jonah and I were supposed to share in that service in some way. We weren't sure. They said, let the Spirit lead you. And so we weren't sure what was going to happen. We had a communion service, and Simone spoke. And it was just beautiful. I woke up that morning thinking in Spanish. And before I even opened my eyes, I said a prayer completely in Spanish to the Lord. And he told me which testimony I was going to share that day. I sat up and I said, Lord, can I write it down? And he said, yes. And I began to write a testimony. And what had taken me 2 hours to write two different halves to do different testimonies to this new testimony took me a couple of minutes. Didn't even use the dictionary. Didn't use anything. Lord gave me every word to say. We got there. Jonah shared his testimony completely in Spanish. And he wasn't understanding anything either. He shared his testimony without writing it down. Although, when we got done sharing them, they're like, well, Jonah knows more words, but we understood Micah better. But the Lord blessed us so greatly in those services. And just a little bit about the work with... the work there with we had fasted the whole day before, and we'd to get the gift of language. And we I'm just gonna show this with Ronaldo's family. The way that it started out was Ronaldo and Simone really wanted us to share our testimonies and to share and to be a part of this so that they would know. The people of the church in their two families, which the whole church is consisted of just their people in their two families, that it wasn't just the church of Simone and Ronaldo, that this was something bigger, and that this church had power and authority from God, and that this was the true church of Jesus Christ. And this was the ministry that was done with Ronaldo's family, is that we began there, and they had been Catholic before. His sister and his mother, which are the two members of the family. Margarita is his mother, and Raquel. Raquel is his sister that's a member of the church. And they had a very, very, very limited knowledge of what the church was and the gospel, but they knew enough that they wanted, and they had experience that they wanted to be baptized, because they recognized the authority and they recognized the difference in the church between that and the Catholic Church. And so we were able to share with them, and this is our ministry that we did with that family, was that when we got there, they were skeptical. And when we left, they were firm. Absolutely firm. No question in their minds that this was the Church of Jesus Christ, and that they had made the right decision, and Yeah.
Okay. So that week, right after we had had the service, we got to share with some families in the evenings on Monday and Tuesday. It gets to Wednesday, and Ronaldo had planned for us to have a Bible study with his family. And we started I had been preparing a little bit on Tuesday. Woke up Wednesday morning. I was excited to write the notes for the Bible study. And Micah wakes up, and he's like, oh, no. I was like, what? It's like, I can't feel my hand. And he's kind of shaking, and I'm like, oh, no. Because I know what this means. Mike is getting a migraine. And over the next few hours, it just got worse and worse. And the migraine kept getting so bad that he was just bedridden. And I was thinking in my mind, oh, no. Because I was like, I don't know how I can do this work without Micah. I was like, I need someone that I can just communicate my soul with. It was so hard to communicate my soul in a different language when I just needed the words to be able to, you know, express myself. And it was easier when I had someone I could go back to the room with and we could just speak in English.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we tried to do only Spanish for a while.
That didn't
work. Decided we definitely needed Spanish and English.
Yeah.
So we separated the two.
So we could work into the Spanish. And so I get my oil out, and I minister to him, and nothing happens. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, I know exactly what happened. Fear and faith can't coexist in one person, and I have a lot of fear. And I was like, Lord, please heal me today of that fear. And so I put our prayer request up on Facebook. I emailed Mom. We got a lot of prayers. That day, Ronaldo had to cancel the Bible study, even though I worked all day to get the notes together. And I was like, well, I wonder what those are going to be good for, which they ended up being good for lots of things. But I was going through the day praying. We finally made it to the evening, and I just spent the day trying to doctor Micah as best I could. But just to let you know, last year, around this time, maybe
August.
I don't know. Mike had a migraine, and it had taken him out of a week of college, just with a terrible pain for the entire week. And we were not going to be able to handle another thing like that. And so that night, finally, I was just like, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to wait till everyone's in prayer service here in the United States in the Independence area, and Ronaldo and I are going to go administer to Micah. And because we were an hour ahead, when the time came, we knew everyone was praying here. I went with Ronaldo. He was a little hesitant. He hadn't done this before, and so I kind of went through the motions with him, helped him to understand exactly how we do with administrations, and the Spirit filled us so strongly, and I said my prayer, he said his, and Micah was healed, and it was so amazing. Micah got up and started. Came downstairs and ate dinner with us, and Ronaldo's like, why are you out of bed? And Micah's like, well, I'm just accepting the blessing. And the next day, it was amazing. He was able to go out with us to do the ministry. Ronaldo was planning that we were going to cancel everything for as long as Micah was sick, and I was going to have to stay in the house with him, even though Micah was saying, no, let Jonah get out there and do this stuff. But so it was such a blessing that Micah was able to be with us, and the ministry was able to go forward in that area.
We had an opportunity to go out pretty close after that. We went out to the Plaza de Puente Alto, and this is the plaza area for this part of this suburb. And we went out there. We prepared a little bit in the morning for classes that we were going to have later on, and then we went out during the afternoon, and Ronaldo went off to do something. I don't remember for...
He was printing the tracks.
Oh yeah, he was printing the tracks that we had gotten designed. Anyhow, not important. But we went out to this plaza, and Jonah had this experience that, you know, he'd seen himself preaching to these people, and I'd had many experiences where I had the Lord say, I'm going to bring my sheep, you go out, you preach, you do this stuff, you know, I'm going to provide the increase. And so we wandered around and we're like, well, Lord, here we are. What do we do? And we just started talking to people. Nobody was really interested. Not, you know, we started fishing like George taught us. And we went out and we just started talking to people. No one was interested. And we're just like, Lord, what's going on? You've given us this testimony that this is supposed to happen, that we're supposed to be here. Where are the people that you need? And we ran into this man, and he had arthritis, and he couldn't walk without a cane, and we just started talking to him, and just introduced ourselves, and started talking about things, and as we shared with him, we came around to who we are, what we were doing there, and then somehow we got onto the subject of his arthritis, and we asked him, because we knew that the Lord had commanded us to go out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick, and so we started to talk to him about the healing of the sick, and as we did so, something happened, and the Lord taught us a very, very important lesson. And that was the lesson that I shared before we started, is that the healing of the sick is not for the sake of healing the sick. Miracles and testimonies are not for the sake of miracles and testimonies. And then for the sake of changing lives and bringing people to repentance, and we lost sight of that for a little moment. And we knew that the Lord had power to heal this man, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit that he wanted to heal him. And we let ourselves get in the way, and we pushed things, and we didn't get the opportunity to share with him what the purpose of that was. And his daughter, a little bit of it had to do with his daughters came, and they were kind of like, well, we need to go a little bit, and things like that. We asked him if he'd like to be administered to, and I don't think that this was a bad thing at all. And I do believe that he was very blessed. And we administered to him and asked the Lord that he would bring the blessing that he needed. And he got up and walked away, and we just kind of sat there and we're like, well, what do we do now? So we repented. And we started to walk around the plaza. We made one loop. We came around to these guys and we saw this group of men playing chess. And I just said, hi, how are you? How's it going? And the guy says, hey, do you want to play chess with me? I said, well, I'm not very good, but sure. I managed to make that chess game last a really long time. And during
because
that...
I made them agree that if Mike could play chess with them, they would have to listen to me.
And so, while I was playing chess, Jonah was sharing the gospel, and I was sharing testimonies intermittently with this group of people. And when we got to the end of our chess game, the man said, well, would you like to play again? And so I played again for another really long time. And we continued to share the gospel with these people. And there was one especially that was really interested. His name was
Jose.
Yeah, well, there were several of them named Jose, actually, in that group. We shared with him the gospel of Jesus Christ and the restoration of that gospel. And I mean, we got to the end of that, and it was just absolutely amazing. The questions that he asked, the deep questions and the thought, and we didn't get a chance to meet with him again, but it was absolutely spirit-filled, and
by the way, he has the contact.
Yeah, he does have our contact. We gave him a lot of information, tracks and stuff, and information about the church, and he does have our contact information, and
not us, Simone's,
and then, and Ronaldo does know that he plays chess there quite regularly, so if if he can, he's going to get back to meeting with Jose and Jose. And it was a wonderful experience that we had that opportunity. Actually, also, just to do this together, we were in a different plaza a different day and had pretty much the same experience. Nobody was really responding. We didn't have anybody do anything. And we're like, Lord, where? So we just sat down, started looking around and praying about everyone that we saw. Is this who you want? Is this who you want? Scanning, saw these two guys younger than us. Saw these two guys with this little cart full of Trufas, chocolate truffles.
Truffles?
Is that the word? Yeah, I think so. The little round ball chocolate. They're amazing. I was like, Lord, is that? And like before I got the prayer out, he's like, go share it with them. And I was like, Jonah, what about those people? And he's like, yep. And he stands up and we go over there. And we spent the next several hours sharing the gospel with Gabriel and Christian. And it was absolutely wonderful. They had so many questions. We were able to share with them without problems with our Spanish. I mean, 2 hours. I don't know, Gary knows better than anybody else how limited our Spanish is, but 2 hours of, that's a really long time to be sharing the gospel in Spanish, and it just flowed perfectly without any problems. And we got to the end, we gave them information and said, if you want to contact, we're friends with them on Facebook now. And it was just absolutely wonderful to be able to make those contacts.
I'll just share two other testimonies about times when we went out just to find new contacts for the church there. The reason we did this was because many of the contacts we had could only meet at night. Many Chileans work most of the day. We got told by the president of the branch there that there were many of the working class that would leave it or wake up 6 in the morning, leave at 8, and they wouldn't get back till 10 o'clock at night to their home, ready to sleep, and they're working really hard. And so what it means is we didn't have a whole lot of time to visit with them except if they were on vacations or if they were young people or things like that, or if they had odd work schedules, which is this testimony. We had gone out to the neighborhood around Ronaldo's family's house, and we're just going door to door trying to see if anyone was interested. And we were asking the Lord, please guide us to where we need to go. And we got some good contacts, and people were really interested, took the information, you know, stuff about the authority of the priesthood, stuff about, you know, this restoration of the church. It was good. But we were really kind of like, well, Lord, we'd really like to make contact with someone who's ready to just hear and respond to the gospel. And so as we were walking, the Lord led us to this one street. And so we were like, okay, we'll go down this one. We stopped at one house, not a whole lot of response. And we walked down the street a little more, and there was a door open. And
this doesn't happen, by the way.
No.
They have, like, gates in front of their house with these, like, big walls.
So you have to stand outside and say, hola.
Hola.
Hola. And just wait for them to answer. But
they have gates behind big walls and then doors, and it's just, right, it's really hard. But her door was open.
Yeah, her door was open, and so we were like, Micah said, hola. And she came to the front, and we did our little thing. We were like, somos misioneros de la Iglesia de Jesucristo. Tiempo para charlar acerca de nuestras experiencias, which means, hello, we're missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ. Is there time to just chat about our beliefs? And she was like, yeah, there is time. And she had come forward in her pajamas. She's like, wait 1 second while I go change. And so she went, she changed into some pants, and she came out and talked with us and spent the next almost an hour with us. And, you know, I went through the things that we had said to other people, and I was like, and I could see on her face that she was just going right along with it. And I was like, so what do you feel about this? What do you believe? And she's like, oh, yeah, I believe that. And I was like, really? Micah, what do we do? So she believes it. Okay, we'll move on. So,
well, she told us that she was a Catholic,
yeah,
and that she had problems with the Catholic Church, with the inconsistencies in the Catholic Church, and the,
right,
and the differences she saw between the the church in the scriptures and the church that she saw was the Catholic church.
Right. And especially the things about Revelation and about Jesus going to the poor and not taking riches to himself. And she really was like looking at the difference between that and the Pope, that and the way the Catholic church was there in Chile, which was very, very rich, whereas a lot of people were very, very poor. And she was, you know, looking at that, she liked the fact that when we mentioned that our ministry doesn't receive any pay for the ministry that they do, she was like, really? That's interesting. And we went through tons of testimonies about the Lord working in our lives. I think we shared pretty much like our life story with her, and she was just like, yeah, just eating it up. Got finally to the restoration of the gospel, talked to her about how there was a period of time where the church fell into apostasy, and she's like, yep, and got to the restoration of the gospel, and, you know.
Shared Joseph Smith's testimony.
And she was like, that makes sense.
Didn't even tell her it was Joseph Smith.
Yeah.
or that we had anything to do with the Book of Mormon at that point.
Mm-hmm. And then we led into those things, and she had to go. And it was really sad to go, but we gave her the information to read a little bit more and gave her our contact information. And unfortunately with her, we weren't able to visit again because her work schedule was so odd. It was odd that she was in her house at that time. It was about noonish. Most people were at work, but she had a very strange schedule, and we weren't able to meet back up with her again. But it ends up, we go to Reynaldo's house that night, and it ends up she's his second cousin. And that the cousin that's between them had been listening to stuff about the church, and that she's now interested in meeting with the branch there, which is right across the street from her house. So she's going to meet with them.
Another side note for that is... when Joan and I teach the gospel here in the United States, it tends to be that one of us will speak, and then we've got this kind of method down. The other one will pray for the other one while they're speaking, and then when the Lord gives us a little hint, we just butt in and switch back and forth, and it's just worked very wonderfully. Well, Jonah speaks a lot better Spanish than I do, and so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to pray for Jonah, and then the Lord will do this him. Well, I'm sitting there praying for Jonah, and all of a sudden the Lord pops this testimony into my mind, and I'm not really following the conversation 100%. I can understand what Jonah's saying, but not completely what Carola's saying up to this point. And the Lord pops a testimony into my mind. I'll just tap Jonah, and I said, I need to share this testimony. So I shared a testimony in Spanish. Micah does not speak Spanish, and I shared this testimony. I didn't write it down or anything. And I shared the testimony, and I got done. And Jonah's smiling at me the whole time. He's just like, yeah, this is awesome. And I got done sharing my testimony, and he carries right along, just keeps going. And I was like, Lord, that was so cool. I'm glad you did that. Went back to, I was like, good thing we had that experience and that's over. And Jonah goes right along and keeps doing his thing. And so I start praying for him again. And then all of a sudden, the Lord starts to put doctrinal stuff in my head that I need to share. And I was like, all right, did it once, do it again. I just started sharing what the Lord was putting in my head, and we went back and forth like that, and I was able to share doctrine and testimonies and with complete freedom of my Spanish, and got home. That got back to Ronaldo's? Nah, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I was just like, Lord, thank you. We prayed and we fasted, and this is what we were looking for. We know that you were looking to bring ministry in this woman's life, and so... Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Don't have much time left,
but we have plenty of time.
Oh, we have plenty of time left. We say a prayer when we go on mission trips that our Uncle Ron taught us about finding the sheep that the Lord has that will hear his voice. The people that are already in a place where they can receive something of what we have to share, so we're not just, because we have limited time, and we have to spend that time usefully in the Lord's work. And the interesting thing was, in our trip, was that many times when it wasn't the Lord's sheep, we didn't have the Spanish to be able to speak to them. But many times when they were in the right place, it flowed from us like you know, water. And it was exactly what we needed. Let's see. Let's share about this one. Okay, so one day we were going to spend the evening sharing again with Sylvia and with Simone's parents, which we haven't shared with them yet. Okay. We were going to spend the evening sharing with them. So we had a whole day. Ronaldo had to go have some meeting. He's a college professor, so he had to go have some meeting about that. And so we were going to wait for him. We had the day to just spend in it's the Plaza of Santiago. It's called the Plaza de Armas. It's right in front of this huge cathedral, and there's like a ton of people there. You would think that like all 6 million citizens of Santiago pass through there in a day, but we were just hoping to be able to share with someone. It was really cold that day.
Oh, it's cold.
Really cold. Micah pretty much like froze down to the core, and so we were like, Lord, help us to find someone. We walked around, didn't really feel led to anyone. We were, you know, I don't even think we approached anyone. No, because we were just like,
for a few minutes,
we just didn't approach anyone. We sat down and started praying, and I was just like, Lord, really, we don't have much time here, because we didn't think we did. Ronaldo was going to come back pretty soon. I was like, could you use our time usefully for someone? And Micah looks up, and he's like, you think that guy needs to hear? And I was like, yeah. And so we got up and shared with this man and had, just to make a long story short, had a very similar experience to the experience we'd had with Carola, the woman at the door.
His name was Santiago, by the way.
Yeah, and we were in the city of Santiago. So for a while, I couldn't tell that he was actually trying to tell me that his name was Santiago. It was really tough. But I was like, yeah, we're in Santiago. No, he's like, no. I'm Santiago. I was like, oh, I see. So, yeah, but we got to share with him, and it was just so amazing. The same experience where he was already in a place where the Lord had led him through experiences in his life to repent of his sins and have a similar experience to the one my dad had had. But he was still at a place where he didn't quite understand because he was confused about the saints of the Catholic Church and going to pray.
Because he was Catholic, yeah. And he'd said that he'd gone to the priest for confession, and he didn't feel any different when he left. And he's like, well, that. And then one day he was out somewhere else, and he just
he
just repented of his sins. He said, I'm gonna lay these down at the foot of Jesus, and he did. He said he felt free, and he's like, wow, that didn't happen when I did it, when I confessed to a priest, but when I confessed to God, it worked. Yeah. And so
he realized he could have communication with God. So when we talked about, which is the first thing we always entered in with, we believe that God wants a relationship with you and that God desires to communicate with you, and he was like, yes, that's true. And so that led into us sharing, and finally, when we, you know, when we ended, he was, oh, we have water? And finally, when we ended, I mean, we had gotten to share all about the restoration of the gospel. He asked us for the little tract we had.
Yeah, he asked us for more information than anybody else the entire trip.
And I can't remember what it is named in English. It's
the truth.
En donde está la iglesia de Jesucristo, en cómo reconocerla. I don't remember. In where?
Where is the church?
But it's in where? In which?
How to recognize?
Right. So it's in where is the Church of Jesus? That doesn't translate right. Oh well. But it's a really nice pamphlet. It was written by some guy in Wales at the beginning of the 1900s. And it's amazing, just about the church. He was led by the Spirit what to write. It's very concise, and it's in Spanish and now. So we gave that to him, gave him some other information, and he, unfortunately, in the life that he had had before, he's been turning his life around for a couple of years, but in the life that he had had before, his wife had split up with him, he'd lost everything and turned to alcohol, and that's what he had been able to repent of and be healed of. But he has no phone. He had no permanent address. And so he was like, well, the only way I can contact you is if I phone you from, you know, a public phone. And we're like, okay. And so, but that was near the end of our trip. So we're leaving his contact with Reynaldo and Simone, and just praying that the Lord will work continuously with Brother Santiago, and that he'll be able to find help with the church too, because he needs help physically as well. He doesn't really have a place. Doesn't really have a place to live, so sorry, Grandpa. I was leaning farther and farther back.
Okay.
Which one?
Yep. All right, we're gonna now we're gonna now get into the meat of our trip. And this is the exciting stuff. The other stuff was exciting too, but this is super exciting. So we made this trip to Rancagua. We made a trip to Rancagua, which is where Simone and his family live. And Simone lives with his...
It's 2 hours south of Santiago.
Yeah, 2 hours south of Santiago. Simone lives in the house of his stepson and with his wife and his daughter. And his stepson and his wife live there as well.
With their daughter.
And his stepson's name is Jimmy. And his wife is Marcella. You probably won't remember this, but it's... Anyhow, I'll... use their names over and over again. His wife, Simone's wife's name is Mary, and his daughter's name is Tiare. And we had time to spend with Tiare and Mary and Simone earlier, but we made this one trip to Rancagua, and the purpose of the main purpose of the trip was to share with Jimmy. Simone had been sharing the gospel with Jimmy a little bit, and he was really interested, and he just needed a little bit more, wanted to hear some testimonies, wanted to make sure that it wasn't just the Church of Simone again. And so we got there, and we were expecting to on...
Was it Saturday?
Yeah, we were expecting on Saturday to go out into the community and try to make contacts, because we didn't have any really thing planned, because Jimmy wasn't going to be there until Sunday. And we got there, and it was pouring rain, and we're like, oh no. We have to spend an entire day just conversing. This is going to be really tough. And because I could speak Spanish, but only while sharing the gospel. And so we got there, and
do you want to share about Tiare and Mary
sure,
and how that happened?
All right, I'll just share about the Angelo to that.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be part of my life.
All right. So we. We got there, and we were sharing, just talking and stuff, and then all of a sudden, this guy shows up with his girlfriend, and we're like, hey, who's that? And he's like, my name's Angelo. He was Mary's oldest son from the previous marriage, and Angelo sits down, and he says, well, why are you here? And we're like, well, we're here to share the gospel. You want to hear our message? He's like, sure, I got time. And so we proceeded to spend the next couple of hours sharing the gospel with Angelo, and got to the end, shared our testimonies and all kinds of stuff, and then got to the end, and he's like, well, I have to be baptized. And we're like, what? For real? He's like, yeah. I mean, if all this stuff that you're saying is true, I have to be baptized. And we're like, all right, that'll work. And so Simone shares, and he's filling in the gaps for us a little bit as we're sharing testimonies in the doctrine. And so we got to spend that whole day with no problems. We didn't have to waste it on, you know, just conversation about the weather, which we can't talk about. And
it's hard.
And we shared with him. We went to bed. They left and everything. And on top of that, his girlfriend sat in the entire time and listened and just was eating it up and asking questions. And it was great. And so the next day, Jimmy shows up. So we start over with Jimmy, and we're like, hi, what do you want to know? Blah, blah. Do you have any questions? We didn't know how much he knew. He's like, well, just share with me your testimony and what's going on. So we started from the beginning, and we just proceeded to spend the rest of the day talking to Jimmy. Angelo shows up again and sits in on it again. He's like, he's eating it up. And we have to share the one. I'm going to share Mary.
Okay.
And so Mary... sorry, this is kind of disjointed. I'm going to try to tie it all together for you.
I wish we could make some sort of family tree for you, too.
Yes, yes. Mary, Angelo and Jimmy's mother, is a member of the church, but she has a problem with the Book of Mormon. And because she couldn't see the difference between, and not that she couldn't see, but she wouldn't see the difference between our church and the Mormon church. And she saw missionaries coming, and they didn't drink coffee, and you know, they were like, we're like, that's, you know, that's the whatever, and that's the Mormons. They don't do that, and that's not, you know. And so we were trying to share with her some of the differences between it at a previous time at the beach, and she wasn't really interested. And so we've been praying and praying about that situation with her, and we got to their house, and Tiare was like, hey, will you share with me some of the differences between the Mormon church and your church? I'm like, Sure, absolutely. So we sat down and started talking with her. Well, Mary at this time is cleaning up from lunch, and she's like coming in and out of the kitchen, and you could tell that she's starting to spend more time in the living room area, less time in the kitchen, and she's listening, and we're sharing all this stuff, and eventually she comes and she just sits down. She's like, I did not know that. She's like, wow, can you share with me more? And so we proceeded to share with her the differences of the churches and things like that, and share testimonies about the Book of Mormon and stuff like that. So when we're sharing with Jimmy the next day, Marie comes in, and she starts sharing with him the differences, starts filling in the holes in our Spanish, and starts sharing about how this is the true church and about the Book of Mormon. And we were just like, wow, we couldn't have orchestrated that if our lives depended on it. And she was able to share the testimonies with her son, and Jimmy at the end of that day said, I have to be baptized. And when we left, just as we were leaving, Marcella comes. Jimmy's wife comes, and she was at a birthday party for her mom, like all day, and it was somewhere else. And she comes in, and we're just like, hi. And then we leave, and we're like, oh man, really wish we could have shared with her. Well, we find out through contact later on that week that Jimmy and Simone proceeded while we were gone to share the gospel and our testimonies with Marcella. Marcella decided to be baptized as well. And so we had a baptismal service, and this was a little bit of an ordeal because we had to find water and there was no water whatsoever. And we ended up carrying like a 100-pound pool the 2-hour trip through the metro all the way there, setting it up in their backyard and filling it with water so that we could have the baptisms. And it was like
backyard. The pool filled
the entire backyard. And if you want to see pictures, I got some later. But we had the baptism, and it was about 50 degrees, yeah. And the water was about 40.
Yeah.
And we had the baptisms of Angelo, Jimmy, and Marcella, and it was absolutely amazing. And Marcella and Jimmy had their little girl blessed at the same service, and it was just an incredible way to finish out our trip.
Okay, I'm gonna need to share my last testimony. Is it alright if I do you want to share anything? I think it's okay.
Wait, hold on.
Simone's parents. Is it in the other room?
Yeah, we need to do Simone's parents.
You want to do it?
You can.
Oh, well, I was going to ask.
All right, sure. Fine.
All right. So one more group of people that are really important is Simone's parents. All right. And after we tended to go to Sylvia's house, and then afterwards we'd go to Simone's parents' house, and we'd share with them a little bit, and they became like, I don't know, they became like second parents to us. It was really, they loved us, and it was really wonderful, and we got to share testimonies and stuff with them. And the first day we got there. And we shared with them. We were sharing testimonies with them, and they were really interested. And we asked them if they believed the things that we were saying. And we're like, absolutely. And they were like, share more testimonies. And so we were sharing testimonies with them, and they were really excited. And we left then, and we came back another time. And this time, a guy named Christian Ballesteros came. And Christian was a member of the Mormon Church. And during his mission, he converted over 100 people to the Mormon Church. And so Simone and Ronaldo are thinking, wow, if we can get this guy on board, I mean, we'll just let him free and we'll have tons of members. But so we shared with Christian. And Christian had also already decided that he was pretty sure he wanted to be baptized. And he just needed a little bit more information. And so we shared testimonies, and we shared about the church and about the restoration. And
the whole time, Ronaldo and Simone are sitting there kind of like really tense. And I couldn't figure it out because that had never happened before. And I wasn't realizing the pressure that they were feeling. They really wanted this guy to have a good experience, and they did not want us to mess this up. And so I was sitting there, and, you know, I felt led as to what testimony to share that night. I had written it down even because some of the words were hard, like ojalata, and I did not know that word before that.
it's 10, by the way.
Yeah. And, wait, yeah. So I had written that down, and I shared it. After I get done sharing, I just gotta sit there like, well, and they're all just looking at him, and he's a young man, but he's very, very stoic, and he just sits there kind of like, and he's just looking at me, and I'm just waiting. I'm kind of like sinking back in my chair, and Simone's just looking at him, and finally he looks at me, he's like, that was a real experience. And Simone's just like, and Simone and Ronaldo just kind of like, they just breathe this huge sigh of relief, and he looks at us, he's like, yes, that was a real experience from God. He's like, good. And that's it. And so we go off and eat dinner, and that whole night we got to share more and more testimonies. We got to share about Josiah's healing from arthritis. We got to share about all kinds of things. And really, also, this was a work we had to do with many of the Mormons there that had left the Mormon church. We needed to return them to the things that were good and not to have them reject. It's like the baby with the bathwater. We needed them not to reject the things that were good in rejecting those things that were bad. And so that night we got to spend time talking about, like, the American Civil War. I don't know how it came up. They were talking about politics for some reason. And I got to talk about the prophecy that Joseph Smith had received about that and return his mind to how accurate that was. And just time after time, we got to share about how the reorganization had received. This is a little known fact. In their early meetings of the reorganization, before Joseph Smith III came to them, they had revelations about the Civil War 8 years before it happened. And so we were able to share about all these things, you know, went from there to testimonies about, you know, our family, just different things. And unfortunately, Christian got a girlfriend, and she lived an hour out of town, and so every time he was off work, he would go visit her from then on, and so we didn't actually get to go visit him again, but he was in contact with Reynaldo and Simone, and
Reynaldo and Simone are very convinced that he's going to be baptized, because yeah. He'd already pretty much made the decision. He just wanted to have confirmation that it wasn't, again, confirmation that it wasn't just the church of Reynaldo and Simone.
Because they're really wary. Apparently a lot of churches just spring up like that and then fall away really quickly down there. People are just like, oh, this is a good idea. Let's have a church that does this. And so some people were thinking, oh, Reynaldo and Simone are just doing this, and they didn't realize it was something bigger. And anyway, so with Simone's parents, that was the second meeting we had with them. The third meeting was kind of tense too. Simone had asked us to ask them if they wanted to be baptized. And he had asked us...
Oh, okay, wait. Sorry, real quick. One night we were back at Ronaldo's house. We were just before we went to bed. We were just kind of sitting there talking about what was going on in the trip and stuff. And all of a sudden the Lord just tells me, pray for this. And so I started praying, and I prayed for Sylvia, and the Lord gave me the words to say. And as I was saying them, Jonah was listening. It's a process. One person prays, the other person listens to the Spirit. And we were given guidance as to what to share with them, what things to do, and what they needed. And Simone's parents were one of those that the Lord led me to pray for. We just started discussing each group of people that we contacted with, and every time the Lord gave us specific direction as to things that we were to share with them. And we were to share things about baptism, about becoming members of the church, and challenge them and help them to be at that point, because the Lord shared with us that they were at a point that they needed that they had the understanding, and they needed to be confronted with the truth of the gospel, just straightforward. And so we proceeded to do that, and Simone left because he didn't want him to get in the way, himself to get in the way, and it just be like their sons trying to get us to do this because it's his new fad or whatever. And so we spent a great deal of time, a couple of hours, sharing. Yeah, more than that, sharing our testimonies and sharing with them, bringing them to the point that we were like, this is the truth. Do you accept it? And they said yes. They said yes that they did, and they agreed with everything, and they were right with us on everything. And then every time we got to that very final point, we said, here we are. What do you have against being baptized? And they're like, all of a sudden they'd draw back, and they'd be like, oh, I don't know, we've got doubts about this. And so we'd share with them about, we've got doubts about, you know, All kinds of stuff. Like
she'd been told in the Catholic Church, she'd had an experience like my mom has had sometimes, where she knew things about her kids' situations that were going on in their lives, you know, things to pray for, and her Catholic priest had told her that that was of the devil. And then her Mormon bishop had also told her that, too. And so we got to share about how, you know, we believe that anyone can receive experiences from the Lord, not just, like, you know, the Pope, or not just, like, the prophet of the church. Yeah. And that those were real experiences that she'd had. I mean, stuff about, like, one of her nephews had died, and she knew, and she had had a dream. And so she told her husband. Her husband didn't believe her, and then, you know, they got the news, and they were able to comfort the family. You know, stuff like that. And obviously, it's real experience.
Yeah, and she thought that we wouldn't accept that for some reason, and so we went through many of her testimonies and said, absolutely, these things are scriptural. We've had experiences like this in our lives. I mean, the Lord wants to have a relationship with you, and He is having a relationship with you as much as you will. Well, we got to the end, and Simone comes back, and we're just like, I don't know what else to share. We've given everything. I didn't say that, but we were just like, this is all. I'm not sure what's holding them back. I mean, they've agreed with everything. I'm not sure what it is. There's something, but I'm not sure what it is. Well, it turns out that they're both elderly and sick, and they're terrified of getting baptized in the middle of winter. And
they thought
that they had to be baptized right then, like that weekend. And we're like, no, that's not the case. We're not pressuring you. And they just totally relaxed. And they're like, well, yeah, we'd like a little time to think about it. And I was like, well, why didn't you just tell us that before? But it was fine. And we're like, absolutely. And we'll be praying for you. Through contact with Ronaldo later, Ronaldo said Simone talked to his parents, and he was like 99% sure that they were going to make that decision to be baptized. And so I kind of wish I could be there for that, but you know, you win some and you lose some. But it was just absolutely wonderful, the spirit that was there with us in those people's lives as well.
Okay. My final testimony is kind of a recap of the entire thing.
But a short one.
A short recap. Really, my testimony is a lot like a scripture that I was led to on one of our bus trips to Rancagua. I was really praying about what the Lord's work was for us there in Chile, and I opened the scriptures right to a verse in 1 Nephi about Nephi building that boat to go across the ocean. And when he was building the boat, he had been talking to his brothers. They had been murmuring about everything, and he looks at them and says, you know, if the Lord was to command me or tell me that I should tell this sea to be dry land, I could do it and it would be done. and then, you know, Nephi has this awesome experience with that. He knows that could happen, and then the Lord tells him to build a boat. And I thought about that, and I wondered, you know, why didn't the Lord just have him turn the sea into dry land? And I realized it had a lot to do with the faith of his brothers and how the Lord knew, better than Nephi did, that it was going to fail during the trip. And we know the story, how it did fail. The boat was tossed about in the storms and they almost died. And yet they were able to make it all the way across. And because of that, I mean, if they'd been walking along on the dry land, lacked the faith, and that had suddenly disappeared, they wouldn't have had as much leeway as they did when they had a ship. And the same experience happened with us many, many times on this trip and before the trip even started. The Lord showed us exactly how many people He could bring to our message, and it was thousands. And the Lord showed us that if He wanted it, He could bring thousands of people to the message. They would hear the Word of God, and they'd be converted. And then He had us spend our time, our month there, with a very select few group of people. And at first, I didn't really realize why, but in the conversations we started to have with these key people, especially the two elders there, it started to really be clear. One of my first really deep conversations with Reynaldo, the guy we were staying with, the elder there, I realized that he was very, very confused. He had joined with us simply because we believe in the Book of Mormon, and we are a church that started with Joseph Smith Jr. He had left the Mormon Church because of the practices that he felt disagreed with the Book of Mormon. He had joined the Community of Christ because they believed in the Book of Mormon. And then he had left the Community of Christ when they had told him that they weren't teaching the Book of Mormon. And he had joined with us when that had changed. And in all of that, I started to get the feel that he felt about the Book of Mormon very, very similarly to the way the Muslims feel about the Quran. He even told me one day, he said, "Joseph Smith went to the Grove to receive light for our day. The light that he received is the Book of Mormon. We don't need anything else." And I didn't... It was really difficult for me to find the words to share with him, but I went upstairs to my bedroom, I kneeled down and I prayed, and the Lord gave me the words to say, and I went down and I talked to him, and I was like, the Book of Mormon does not testify of itself. All throughout it, I mean, the Quran does, definitely. You read it, it says that it is the final revelation for our day. But the Book of Mormon says there are other books to come forward. Don't believe just in the words of the Book of Mormon. You can receive testimony of them. The only reason these miracles and revelations will cease is because there's no faith in the children of men. I mean, it's all throughout the Book of Mormon. If you accept the Book of Mormon, you've got to accept the message of it. And at first, he was very, very against that. He said, how can you say, you know, someone brings a spiritual experience to you, how can you say, well, I've had a different one, and try to meet them with that? He's like, you'll just be fighting spiritual experiences. You've got to, you know, the only thing we should use is the Book of Mormon to tell us what's true or not. And, you know, we tried to talk about how you could actually experiment on the truth, you could experiment on the Word of God, you could find out what was true for yourself and know it. And at first, he had a hard time believing us. But a week later, we were visiting with Christian Ballesteros, the one who was very stoic and looked at me and said, that's a real experience. And guess who was sharing about going to God and receiving your own testimonies about things? Rinaldo. And same with Simone. When we got there, Rinaldo and Simone, we didn't know this, but they had decided to test us. And they had decided to test to see if the stuff that Gary and Nathan had said was really true. And so we didn't know, but the entire time we were there, we were on trial. And they said they were testing our attitudes, testing if we were for real about the things we were saying, if we were just being hypocritical and just, you know, preaching the gospel on this side and we were just, you know, not living it on the other, or if this was for real, our lives. And by the time we left, Simone was convinced that this church is true. And the reasons he liked it were way different. At the beginning, he would share things with us like, well, I like the way it's democratic. And I like the way it's, you know, it believes in the Book of Mormon and stuff like that. By the end, he was sharing with people, guess how they received revelation. Guess how, you know, look at how the pastor receives a call to the priesthood, and they get to talk to all the elders about it. And then, you know, the branch has a time to receive testimony, and the person themselves has a time to receive a testimony of the call, and, you know, they can be sure that it's from God and all these things. And he was just on fire about that. And at the end, he really truly believed. And he was ready. This was something that we had prayed for. That night that Micah had been led to pray for different things, we had been led to pray for Simone, because he is the pastor of the branch there. And as the church is growing, he's going to need to receive testimonies of calls to the priesthood. And he needed to be sure in his mind that he had that authority, that he could actually receive it from God and not himself, and that this church is in that lineage, that authority exists with us. That can truly happen, and it's not just a thing where he just is like, well, I think you should probably be a priest, and he ordains a guy. But he was convinced, and by the time we left, our mission was made very clear to us. We had a service, and Simone shared, and he said, he kind of broke down, and he said, if you guys didn't achieve anything else here, making new contacts or anything, the reason the Lord sent you here is for us. And he said, the reason the Lord sent you here is for the church here. And leaving, I wrote in my journal, and I just looked at it the other day. I said, the Lord showed me that my work is not his work, that he could do, you know, when the time is right, he can bring thousands to this work, but it needs to be his work. And that if we had, you know, like the siege of dry land, if we had brought thousands to the work right at the beginning, if we had spent our month doing that, we would have left, those people would have looked to Rinaldo and Simone, and in the end, the church would have been the church after the manner of Rinaldo and Simone, after the manner of the beliefs that they held before we came. And now, if the Lord brings fruit to the church, if the Lord brings people to Rinaldo and Simone, they will be able to bring them to Jesus Christ, and it will truly be the church of Jesus Christ, not the church of Rinaldo and Simone. And that's really the work that Lord brought us to. I am 100% hopeful that in the future, especially with the addition of Brother Jimmy, who is right between us in age, Brother Christian Ballesteros, and several others, Sister Sylvia, she is on fire to go tell her family, her friends, and all the other...
She's already invited her daughter and some other friends to come and hear the gospel.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the bishop of that area, of the Mormon church, was really interested in the gospel that we were sharing,
yeah,
and wanted to hear more about it from Simone.
So. Yeah, so we're very excited. The Lord now that the church there is ready, is going to bring fruit to it. And they told us they probably wouldn't need us back for a while. They're like, you've done a really good job. We're like, we didn't do anything. Lord did this work. I had to tell myself over and over again that same phrase. It is Jesus Christ that speaks to the people in their own language and in their own understanding. We just need to get out of the way. So the awesome thing with Spanish, though, was that at the beginning, we had such a hard time. I broke down crying after 3 days because I just wanted to communicate the things that I wanted to share, and it was so hard. By the end, we were able to I was conversing with them freely with whatever topic came up. I learned probably, 500 new words while I was there. And, and relearned a whole bunch. Unfortunately, I also lost a whole bunch, so I'm going to have to relearn those ones, because if it wasn't firm in my mind just threw it out. But by the end, we were able to converse, and we really feel like the Lord has used this also to prepare us for new things in the future and new ministry in that area. So, yes, that is it. And as they say down there, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give my testimony. Amen.
It's interesting how a man asks for someone to come to Chile. Gary Metzger and Nathan Shear went and responded. They planted seeds. And now we get two of our brethren here who planted more seeds. And it's the seeds that grow and multiply. When you plant one seed of corn, how many kernels come out? So I appreciated what they shared. May God continue to bless them. Are you guys interested in going back?
Sure. They told us they wouldn't need us for
one. It's interesting, isn't it? There's a lot of difference between our sharing somebody who speaks English and trying to go through and do what they had to do. I appreciated your being here. I hope and pray that each of you, whether you brought food or not, will stay and eat with us. That's part of what we want to have happen. Brother Josiah will offer a prayer blessing upon the food as he offers the benediction. We're going to sing only the first stanza of 453, and Anise is going to play just two lines. So let's stand.
Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the wonderful blessings that you've given to us in our lives, Lord. I thank you for the wonderful blessings that you've given to my brothers, and I thank you for the time that we've had to be able to hear them, and I pray. pray that we take these testimonies to heart, that we would always seek to build up your kingdom, Lord. And please forgive us of our sins, that we might be humble servants before you, ready and willing to do your work. I pray that you bless the food that we're about to eat, Lord, that it would nourish and strengthen our minds and bodies, that we might use the energy to build up your Zion. I pray these things in Jesus' name.